Dear friends, regarding the seven laws of all mankind, the sons of Noah, there are some things I would like to say. First of all, we have to understand that those laws are natural laws in the heart of men. Every person who is born in this world has these seven universal commandments in their hearts. Everybody knows that it's not correct to kill a person, not correct to steal, not correct to commit adultery, things like that. So God did not need to write those commandments down or to speak from a mountain with an audible voice to teach mankind about these things, because God put it in the heart of man. The second thing we can see regarding these seven is that when God judges the nations before Sinai, before the giving of the Torah in Exodus 20, God cannot judge and punish a nation for something they don't know that they are doing wrong. For example, Sodom and Gomorrah. God sent fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed the cities. God is not a cruel judge in the sense of punishing somebody who doesn't know what he's doing. So the reason he sent judgment over these people is because they knew that they were sinning against God. And they were sinning against their own conscience and against their Torah, which was written in their hearts. They knew in their hearts that those things were not correct. So not only the written commandments, let's say that, or specifically detailed information about these seven give us the information about them, but also the judgment of God during that time. For example, when Cain killed his brother Abel, God asked him, "Where is your brother?" And his answer shows that he had a bad conscience. He knew that what he had done was not correct when he killed his brother. So God judged him. And the judgment is because there is a sin. And if there is a sin, there is a law. Because only when there is a law, there is a sin. Because sin is breaking the law. So Cain had sin without scripture, without a written law, because he had the law in his heart. He knew God's will about not killing another person. That's why God could judge him, because he did not act according to the universal laws that he had in his heart. You can go through all of them, stealing and how to treat animals, all the seven, and see that this is very natural. Everybody knows about these things. So God does not need to write them down specifically. And you can also say that the 613 commandments for the Jewish people, you cannot find a list of them in the scriptures. The same way you cannot find a list of the seven universal commandments in the scriptures. So when people say it's not biblical to teach about the seven commandments for all human race, they don't understand the basics of scripture. Of course, you can find them in the scripture. You can find them everywhere. Not only when God speaks about what is correct to do or not do, but also in his judgment and treatment with people. How could God expel the seven nations and give the commandment to the people of Israel to destroy and expel the seven nations in the land of Canaan if they did not have any law. Of course there was a law. They knew that they were practicing idolatry and killing their children, giving them as sacrifice to their pagan gods. They were stealing and committing homosexuality, adultery, all those sexual sins that God forbids. And they knew it. That's why the people of Israel could and had the obligation to expel them and destroy them and uproot them from the land of Israel. So that's also an evidence about those laws that existed from the creation of the world for all mankind. You can also find them in a coded way in Genesis 2:17. You can also find them, many of them, not all, in the text when God speaks to Noah and his sons. So you can find them in the scriptures. What the rabbis did was to do research and to show them in a specific way so we could have them clearly before our eyes. But those seven commandments are not rabbinical. They are basic teachings from the scriptures and from the history of mankind. That's the first thing I want to say. The second thing I want to stress, and this is very important, the commandments given to Israel were given to create a godly, God-worshipping priesthood society for Israel, for the Jewish people. God separated Israel from the rest of the nations when he took them out of Egypt and gave them the Torah on Mount Sinai. So the very scripture, the written Torah, and also explained by the oral Torah, is for the people of Israel, not for the nations. In the scriptures, God shows Israel which commandments are for the nations. So Israel can teach the nations about what commandments are for them. And that's one of the tasks, the missions that the people of Israel, the Jewish people, has. So in the written word of God, the Torah, the nations can learn two things: how God wants Israel to serve him and how God wants them to serve him. And they have to do it in some ways the same way as Israel, and in some ways in a different way as Israel. So you have a difference between Israel and the nations. Israel is a priest nation, and a priest is a bridge between God and somebody else. So the 70 nations, originally 70, now there are more than 150, 180, I don't know exactly how many. So the 70 nations, now split it up to more, are served by Israel. Israel is giving worship and service to God, not only for themselves, but also for the blessing of all mankind. As God told Abraham, you will be a blessing, and in you all the nations of the world will be, all the families of the world will be blessed. So the reason why God chose Israel is to bless the world. That is a very important principle. If you don't understand that the reason to choose one among others, it's not because of showing him that he is special and giving him more and reject the others. God is choosing one of his sons, let's say Joseph in the family of Jacob, to be the firstborn and the representative of the family. That doesn't mean that the rest of the brothers have to be jealous about him, because that's the channel which God uses to bless the rest. So if God blesses Joseph, the purpose of blessing Joseph is to bless all the rest of his brothers, as we saw it happen in Egypt. When God blessed Joseph to be the second man after the king, he had the possibility to bless all his brothers and save them from death. That's the same principle in all scriptures. When God chose one person and lifts him up, he wants that person to be lifted up over others, to be a channel of blessing for the others. So there is no place for jealousy. It's only a place of recognition of what God has given to the chosen people. So the one who blesses Israel will be blessed. The one who curses Israel will be cursed, because Israel is God's representative on the earth. What you are doing against Israel, God will do against you. And what you are doing for Israel, God will do for you. And God gave Israel and the Jewish people the authority to teach the nations about how to be just, how to be righteous, how to live a correct life. And Israel is teaching the nations about the seven universal laws. Now, there is a very important issue here. When, let's say, the rabbis teach about the 613 commandments, they say that if you fulfill these commandments, you will have a place in the coming world. You will be saved. There is a double meaning here, I would like to say. Those who know God in the sense of have been born again, have experienced the spirit of the resurrected Messiah, who are children of God, they know that the salvation is not based on your good deeds, on your fulfilling of the commandments in the sense of legalism or business mind. Let's say, if I do this, I will buy from God. If I fulfill this commandment, he will give me eternal life. That is a very dangerous attitude and a very evil spirit behind that teaching. You have to be very careful. You cannot earn salvation by your own effort, because God needs to make a miracle inside of you to take away the sin you have and give you eternal life. So you need to depend on God's grace. God is giving you eternal life by grace. And that is Jewish teaching. Be very careful not to say anything else. But you can find two lines of teaching inside of Judaism. The ones who stress God's grace for you to be saved, and the ones who stress your own efforts to be saved. You can find both. One is good and one is bad. One is true, one is false. Now, you cannot say that you can disobey the commandments, be rebellious against God, do whatever you want, and then you get the salvation. That's also false teaching, on the other hand. So there is a truth hidden, and a truth in the teaching that you have to fulfill the commandments to be saved, of course. Why? Because you cannot continue to lie, you cannot continue to steal, you cannot continue to commit adultery and to say blasphemy and curses against God and think that you can be saved. Of course, you have to repent from those sins and fulfill those commandments to be able to be saved. But if you stop to steal, stop commit adultery, stop blasphemy, that will not save you. That's only the first step, let's say that. That's your part, but that will not save you. The salvation comes from God through the Jewish people, through the Messiah, through the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So when you repent and want to be obedient to the commandments, and you ask God for forgiveness, God will give you his salvation by grace. He will pay for your sins through the sacrifice of Yeshua. He will take away your sins. He will consider you as righteous, as a just person, because you repented and you want to fulfill the commandments. You want to be obedient. You cannot disconnect the obedience of the commandments from the salvation. Don't think that you will be saved if you continue to be adulterous. If you continue to steal or lie, you will not be saved. Or commit other unmorality acts and moral acts. So, of course, there is a connection between the salvation and the fulfillment of the commandments. But you cannot put the horse after the wagon. You have to put the horse first and then the wagon after. It's God's grace who saves you, but you have to be repented from your disobedience and be prepared to fulfill his commandments. If you don't want to obey, you will not be saved. So, you see that we need to have balance there regarding the relationship with the commandments. Now, the 613 commandments of the written Torah are for Israel. The seven commandments written in the heart of men is for all mankind. Nobody, no one of those commandments can save you by themselves. And here we have to understand a dangerous misunderstanding regarding the rabbinical teaching about the seven commandments of Noah. And I think here is where most of you who are against this teaching, you feel in your spirit something is not right here. And you are right. You are feeling this the right thing. As we read in this teaching we had before I sent to you about the seven commandments, Maimonides, Rambam, is teaching it that If a person from the nations fulfill these seven commandments, he will have a share in the Olam Haba, in the coming world. That is half the truth. And that's also said about the Jewish people. If you fulfill the commandments, you will have a share in the coming world. But that's half the truth, as we said before. Only God's grace can save you, save the Jewish people, and save the nations. It's the same way to salvation for everybody. It's through God's sacrifice of his son that the Jew has the right to come to the coming world. And it's God's sacrifice of his lamb, Yeshua, Adon Yeshua, which is the reason why the Gentiles can come in to the coming world and have eternal life. So the way to salvation is the same for Jew and Gentile. It goes through grace and God's eternal sacrifice of his own son, Adon Yeshua. There is no other way to salvation. There is no other way to eternal life. But to reach that salvation, you need to repent from your sins. You cannot just believe that Yeshua died for your sins and be saved. That's not enough. You have to repent from your sins. You have to start to be obedient to God's commandments. If you are a Jew, you have to repent from your sins against the 613 commandments. If you are a non-Jew, you have to repent from your disobedience against the seven universal commandments. If you want to receive the grace of God, you cannot continue in sin, because then you don't live in the grace, because the grace is giving you the power not to commit sin, not to break the commandments. So it's the same way for Jew and Gentile. The only difference is that the Jew has a whole lot of more commandments to fulfill, to be, let's say, pleasant before God. And the Gentile don't have so much commandments to fulfill to be pleasant to God. As a Gentile, you are not obligated to eat clean animals. If you're a Jew, you're obligated to eat only clean animals. But if a non-Jew eats unclean animals, he will not sin against God. Maybe his body will suffer because of health reasons, but it's not a sin against a law of God for you. If you as a Gentile take your car and drive to a meeting place to worship God on Shabbat, you are not sinning against God, making fire thousands of times an hour in your motor of your car. If a Jew takes a car to a place of worship on Shabbat, he is sinning against a specific commandment from God not to make fire on Shabbat. And he will be judged for that sin. And that, if we would have a system of authority, correct authority in Israel right now with the temple, that would be death penalty for a Jew if he would take the car to drive to a synagogue in Shabbat. That's a death penalty sin for a Jew. But for the non-Jew, that is not a death penalty. It's not a sin, because the law of the Shabbat as a sign of a covenant was only for the people who went out of Egypt, and they were in the covenant of the circumcision and the covenant of the Sinai. So that's for the chosen people. You have to make a difference regarding the fulfilling and keeping the Shabbat between Jews and non-Jews. But as I said before, you have to look as a triangle. You have two people on earth, the Jewish people and the nations. That's the lower part of triangle. Then you have the top of the triangle in heaven. There is a new man, new creation. When a Jew receives the new birth through the resurrection of Yeshua, Adon Yeshua, he becomes a new man. So he's a double. He's a Jew in his flesh, and he is a son of God in his spirit. When a Gentile experiences the same regeneration, he is born again, the new man, the resurrected man, comes into him, and he becomes the son of God in the heavenly. So both Jew and Gentiles who are born again are at the top of the triangle. They are exactly the same thing before God. There is absolutely no difference in the new man. And that's where Yeshua made both to one. As Paul is teaching, there is not Jew or Greek, not slave or free, rich, poor, man, woman. In this new creation, there is no difference. It's the resurrected man, the new man, Adon Yeshua, who was a new creation when he was risen up at the third day. God created a new man. When you are born again, you become that new man in him, just as you are born by Adam. You're also born by the second man, in a spiritual way, in this case. So when you were born by Adam, in the physical way, you were born as a Jew or a Gentile. If you were born as a Jew, you come into the covenant in the eighth day. If you're a woman, it's enough to be born by a Jewish woman to be Jewish. There are some Gentiles who make conversion and they come into the Jewish people and they are part of the physical, earthly, mortal Jewish people. And they have to fulfill the commandments just as any other Jew. But those are not so many. Some of them. When a Gentile is born, he is born outside of the covenant with Israel. In the physical way. So, when a Gentile is born, he has the seventh universal commandments to fulfill, to be a pleasant person. And those seven commandments are given to the nations to create a righteous society. Just as the 613 commandments were given to Israel to create a righteous society of a special people, different people from the nations, who have special rulings, and especially regarding the service in the temple. Because the temple service is for the Jewish people, specifically the tribe of Levi and the family of Aaron, the high priest. They are chosen inside of Israel to be the priest family, to be able to sacrifice in the temple. And they are doing it for the reason of blessing the rest of Israel and the world. So Everybody has his own commandments in this creation, this first man, this earthly, mortal earthly man. But when we are born again, we come up to heaven. The second man is made in heaven. The first man is made by earth. And you cannot confuse, you cannot mix, you cannot mingle or mix the teachings about the 613 commandments for Israel and the seven commandments for the nations as commandments for the new man. Listen to what I'm saying now. The Torah, the law of God, was given on earth to an earthly man, to a mortal man, to a sinful man. That's why the Torah says, don't kill. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't blaspheme. Why do you need that? Because you have something in you that wants to do those things. Even if you know it's not correct, you have the law in your heart, you have something evil inside of you which wants to do those things. And God says, don't do that. So the law, the commandments God gives to the human race is for them to stop the bad inclination, to put a brake on the sinful nature inside of them. And if we manage to establish a society built on those commandments, 630 for Israel, 7 for the nations, we will create a wonderful world. We will create a wonderful world. Imagine a world where nobody is stealing, nobody is lying, nobody is looking at the wife of his neighbor. That would be a wonderful society, but that will not save the world. That will not give the world the right to come into the coming world. The Torah was given for the earthly man, for the mortal man, for the first man, for the Jews and for the Gentiles, to create a good world here. Those commandments are good for the nations, and those commandments are good for Israel. But they are still for a person who will die. A mortal man. The commandments cannot give eternal life. They can only create a just society in this world. But they cannot give you eternal life. Only God's grace can give you eternal life. So you cannot mix the teaching about the seven commandments to the nations with the message of salvation. It's totally different. The seven commandments are given to create a righteous society in all the nations, to help people to be good. And that is also a preparation, an education for people to easier receive the message of salvation through God's grace. Did you hear the difference? Those commandments cannot save you, but they can prepare you and prepare the people, prepare the nations to easier receive God's grace and salvation through the blood of Adon Yeshua, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of Israel and the nations. The Torah is not for the second man. The Torah is not in heaven. And the second man is over the Torah, because Torah is for earth. And the second man is in heaven, made in heaven. The second man does not need those commandments who say don't steal, because he will not have anything in him. He doesn't have anything in him that likes to steal, or to commit adultery, or to blaspheme, or to kill. Those commandments are unnecessary for a person who does not have anything inside of him which likes to do those things. God does not need to say to Yeshua after the resurrection, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't kill. Yeshua does not need those commandments. And nobody in the resurrection man, in the new birth, needs those commandments. Because that person, that new man, is perfect. He doesn't have any sin. He can be a baby, but he is not a sinner. He needs to grow up, but he's not a sinner. He has nothing inside that is desiring to do against God's will, because God's will is in his heart. He is automatically fulfilling God's commandment in his level, in his sphere, in his heavenly being. So you have three kind of people. Be very aware of these truths. You have Jews, you have Gentiles, and you have the congregation of God, the heavenly Israel, the heavenly new man. And the commandments are for Israel and the nations, not for the new man. I hope I could explain these things. Now, to make a summary of what I'm saying. When the rabbis speak to the nations about the seven universal commandments, they speak, if you do these things, you will be saved. If you are born again, your spirit will say, that is a false teaching. And you react against that teaching. And you are right. Because you know in your spirit that you are born again. You know in your spirit that you have a part in the coming world. That you are righteous because you have repented from your sins. And you have received the sacrifice of Adon Yeshua as the atonement for your sins. And you have received the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is saying to you that you are his son. And you know that you are born again. So when the rabbis say, if you fulfill these commandments, you will come into the coming world, you say, no, that's not the way of salvation. And then you rebel against the teaching about the seven universal commandments, because you feel there is a false spirit inside of it. And you are right. There is a false spirit in this teaching. But you have to discern between that spirit and the truth about the seven commandments. It's not an issue of salvation. My friend, it's not an issue of salvation. It's an issue of the establishment of a righteous society among the nations. To prepare their society to be sensitive for the grace of God and for the preaching of the good news about the resurrection of Yeshua and his atoning death for the sins of the world. I hope you can see the difference and be comforted, be uplifted by this message, and see that I don't agree with the spirit of legalism behind the teachings of many rabbis speaking about the seven universal Noah commandments for all the nations. I don't agree with the legalistic spirit behind, but I do agree with the truth in this teaching, because there is a truth about the seven commandments. You can find them in the teachings of Rabbi Shaul, the Apostle Paul. He had two messages for the nations. The first message was the salvation through faith, through grace, through the sacrifice of Yeshua. When you repent from your sins, what sins? The sins against the seven commandments. The sins against your conscience. You have sinned against God, breaking those commandments. When you repent from them, God gives you his sacrifice, and you are born again, you receive the Spirit. That's the first step in his teaching. He's teaching the good news for you, to be saved. The second thing in his teaching is to teach the Gentiles how to be good citizens, how to live a pleasant life for this society and for heaven. And there you can find, in all his teachings, references to the seven universal commandments. Read his letters and you will see. Just ask yourself, when is Paul referring to one of the seven universal commandments? You will find them everywhere. Why? Because if you are still in this body, you are still part of the mortal man, you have to be obedient to these commandments. You cannot continue to steal and to commit adultery or to blaspheme or speak evil words against others. Do harm to the animals. You cannot continue to do that. You have to live a righteous life. So, Paul is saying, let the new man inside of you take control to help you to fulfill those commandments. Let the power of the Spirit inside of you take control. So you will be obedient in this lower mortal man, in your flesh, to those commandments who are for the flesh, for the man, the first man. You are still part of the first man until you die. In this body, we are still part of the old man, of the Adam. We are sons of Noah, everybody. So as long as we are in this condition, we have to fulfill these commandments. Not to be saved, not to be born again. We are already born again. We have the new man inside of us. But there is a part of us which is the old man. And that old man has to be obedient. And the new man can help the old man to be obedient, to fulfill these commandments. But you cannot find anywhere in the teachings of Paul, and he was the apostle, he was the shaliach, the emissary.